Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Cabrera off second pitch. Swung on, a fly ball to left center, not deep. Couser is there, makes the catch. Ball game over. Baltimore wins. So the Orioles stay alive in the East by beating the Yankees tonight 5-3.
It's definitely, like you said, an up and down season, but I feel like we're more battle tested going into the postseason this year. So really looking forward to seeing what we can do in this season this year.
Well, I think the group did a great job. We didn't have the best of luck this year in a number of ways, but the group never really changed its determination. It was just a very steady atmosphere around the team.
I feel like just as a complete offense and, out there on defense, it feels a little natural right now. And, we have a lot of good personalities, a lot of good people, a lot of great leaders in said clubhouse. So, it's been a lot of fun having those guys back.
Honestly, it's been really difficult. Not a lot has gone right in the last few months. And we're right in every game, and things just haven't worked out in our favor. I feel like we've had a ton of bad luck, too. And now, I feel our team's back at full strength.
Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager, being doused with champagne in the clubhouse, Yankee Stadium, late last night as his Orioles make the playoffs for the second consecutive year. And he's just talking about, lamenting a little bit, the fact that the team has not been at 100% strength. And as we've talked about, Vinny, multiple times, almost to the point where I'm sick of bringing it up.
Yeah.
For over 82 games, they've been a losing team. Still are. So it was a tale of two halves, or basically 2.5 months of greatness, and then 2.5, almost 3 months of being below average.
Yeah.
And injuries have had a lot to do with it. Inconsistencies and all sorts of other things. You heard Mike Elias say bad luck. Luck works in a lot of different ways. Sometimes you make your own luck.
I agree. Bob, that's the only thing that really bothered me. Bo said we had bad luck. Every other team could say that was
Braves, Dodgers.
Right.
I mean, the Orioles have been hit as hard as anyone.
I agree. I totally agree with that. But in your celebration, don't say we had a lot of bad luck.
I mean, because you are pouring champagne down your sock hole.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we get that. But making the playoffs back-to-back years is a great accomplishment.
Yes.
Nolan, get in here. And I'm going to ask both of you this and our listeners. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. We got the Ravens back in practice today, getting ready for the Bills. 2.5-point favorites over the undefeated Buffalo team. Damon Evans joining us 11 o'clock as Maryland's at Indiana for their first road game in the Big Ten. 7-point underdogs against the undefeated Hoosiers. But if I would have said to either one of you and our listening audience, 3 years ago today, or 3 years ago today, we're sitting on September 25th, 2021. And I go, hey, you know what? In 3 years, we'll be talking about the Orioles getting to the playoffs in back-to-back seasons, which included a 100-win year. You would have said what to me?
Would have been satisfied.
Like, no, great. You'd have been like, you're nuts. Get the bleep out of here.
3 years?
That was the
vision.
Yeah.
I mean, what? We were going to wait 5 years, 6 years
to
happen?
2021, they were the worst team in baseball.
Right.
You think in 3 short years they're making back-to-back playoff appearances?
I would have
said you're nuts.
With all the draft capital they had, that was years after, 2021? So they already had Adley in the system. They already had Gunner in the system. I would hope that they would have. I wasn't going to wait 6 or 7 years for this to happen.
I'm not saying that. You really believe. Now, hindsight's always 20/20.
Right.
Again, I asked you on September 25th, 2021, 3 years from now, the Orioles are going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have a winning season next year, which nobody expected, and they're going to be in the playoffs back-to-back years. You thought that was a reality?
I would think he probably...
I wouldn't have been stunned.
Yeah.
But I see, 100-win season, stunned by that.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back, I see your point, just because even when they were good in the Buck years, they never went
back-to-back.
Hadn't
done it in over 20 years.
So in that regard, yeah, I'm with you.
That's kind of my point. You know what I mean? But
let me ask you this, Bob.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, we were World Series or bust.
June 20th, they were one of the favorites to win
the
World Series. They had the best record in baseball. They led the American League majors in offense and home runs and runs per game.
They were kicking everybody's ass.
They're still kicking New York's ass, Q. 7-4 against the Yankees. Own the tiebreaker. If this turns into a tie for first place, the Orioles are going to win the division. I don't think it will, let's be honest. But if it does, the Orioles are going to win it. But that being said, it's been a very frustrating 2.5-3 months. Watching them just flail away with run, and they were 1-for-6 last night. With Taters, who had hit the homer, grounded into the double play with first and second. I'm like, come on, man. Because you know every run's going to matter in these games. And Kowser's home run was huge after the Orioles almost gave it away and Glaber ran into an out inexplicably. But they've overcome a lot. I still think the bullpen will do them in when it's all said and done. I will bet on the Orioles to win the World Series now because the odds are probably pretty
long. Who do
you
got the most faith in the bullpen, Bob?
Coulomb? I mean, Perez, well, yeah, the bloop double, the infield hit.
Yeah.
And then Cano, who just doesn't like traffic, he let two inherited runners score. Hey, let's be honest. Soto was good last night. I did walk Rizzo for some inexplicable reason, but Dominguez gives up way too many home runs for me. What do you think there, Nolan? Most reliable reliever on September 25th.
Hard to pinpoint anyone. You had a night last night where Hyde didn't even let anyone pitch to three outs.
Right.
I mean, he's yanking everybody. Hey, you know.
He had the hook ready. They were doing their warm-up pitches.
It was a puzzle piece, putting it together after Kramer got out of there, which give him a ton of credit as well. Another clinching game for him. I don't know. I guess I default to Coulomb, but we haven't even seen enough of him.
But here's the point, though, in regards to where the Orioles sit today. Mountcastle's back, 104-mile-an-hour rope off the bat. Westberg's back, double ribby, Arias home run, hard contact Sunday. Webb's back, Coulomb's back. They're about as close to 100% as they can be health-wise. Still waiting on Grayson Rodriguez. He didn't even make the trip to New York. And he hasn't even thrown the live hitters yet. So, you know, he would be a nice advantage addition to the equation. But this is what you get. And what we've seen, we talked about it yesterday with Ryan Ripken, with Arias and Westberg back. Now you got two reliable bats and you have two gloves. How shaky's the defense been in the infield? They've been terrible in defensive metrics in the infield, especially over the course of the second half of the season. Now tightening up there. So this is kind of the Orioles team that's going to be going into October. What's the magic number, Nolan, for
the top spot? I believe it's down to two.
Two. So Detroit loses because the Orioles own the tiebreaker against Kansas City. If the Tigers lose, Orioles win, Orioles will clinch the number one wild card seed, which means the wild card round will be in Baltimore, all depending on how long it lasts. Three games in the Charm City. If they get through that, I'm guessing, let me just double check here. Yankees, 92. All right, it's going to be either Cleveland or New York for the top seed. I'd rather play the Yankees. Orioles are 7-4 against the Yankees. And Judge, I was reading the New York Post this morning, Judge said he was talking to Rutschman in the batter's box, said we'll probably see it in another week or so. Because if the Orioles get through the wild card, then if the Yankees maintain that number one seed, they'll meet in the divisional round. And who's going to be feeling more pressure? The Orioles or the Yankees in that one?
Yankees.
Yeah. They've got the money investment. They've got the division title under their belt, or we assume so.
Yeah.
It's coming momentarily.
You would think, yep.
But boy, the narratives would be off the charts for that. Think about all the just the history between the two teams, the playoff history. I go back to 2012. I'm still salty about that. shout out to Santander. Hit the McLouth Memorial foul pole last night. It doesn't fully avenge 2012,
right.
But it was
and,
a nice...
And Stanton missed it by 2 inches.
Yeah. A nice consolation.
Yeah, but McLouth getting to Nolan's point, 2012, game five, that ball clipped the top of the foul pole when they didn't roll it a home run. Or baseball history would have been a lot different 12 years ago. But either way, Orioles are in. Going to get the number one wild card if miracles happen. Say they win out, Yankees lose out, depending on Cleveland. Let's not forget the Guardians. If it's a three-way tie, the Orioles will win the top seed. If they're tied with New York, they'll win the division. So it's Eflin tonight against Nestor Cortez, who's been outstanding lately. And then Burns goes on a Wednesday or Thursday. So this is going to be a pretty interesting scenario. But let me ask you this, guys, and ladies and gentlemen listening. You clinch the number one wild card. Yankees wind up clinching the division. How are you approaching the Twinkies series coming into this weekend? Trying to get your rotation set. Next Tuesday.
I'm doing whatever I got to do to prepare for Tuesday. That's what I'm doing in the Twin Series.
Right, and from a pitching standpoint, it might actually map out in their favor already without any maneuvering. You know, Burns would go tomorrow, like you said, so he doesn't have to pitch at all in the Twin Series, which means he would be in line for, or if he doesn't pitch tomorrow, he pitches Friday.
He'd be lined up for game one.
Yes, and you know, you'd still have... it may be Eflin. Again, he'd go today. He'd be ready by next week.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to move much pitching-wise, but I'd be making a full effort to get those guys that just came back as much work as possible. Not overworking them. You know, maybe take them out of the game late if it's out of hand, but get the Mountcastles of the world, Arias, Westberg, as many at-bats as possible against Major League pitching so they're ready to rumble.
Yeah, yep, you're right. Pitching staff's kind of shaping up the way Brandon Hyde would want it to go against opponent to be determined. So the Orioles have clinched the playoff spot for the second straight year, first time since 96-97 when they went to back-to-back ALCS that they have accomplished that feat. You want to praise, you still want to fire Brandon Hyde. I mean, I'll listen, we'll listen. 410-583-1057 is the number. Still work to be done, however, in 24. Ravens back in practice today. Getting ready for the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo coming in at 3-0, and Josh Allen, Vinny, playing out of his mind. We'll get into film study for the Bills tomorrow, but, I mean, that's a formidable team. That's won in Baltimore before with Josh Allen as the quarterback.
Yeah, it is, Bob. And I just started watching some film this morning and just looking at their stats and stuff. I mean, they lead the league in points scored. They're averaging 37 points a game. And they played at Miami, you know, who was Tua was still there for most of that game, and they were blowing them out. I mean, they've been playing some really good football right now. I mean, and Josh Allen's as hot as any quarterback in the league.
We got film study of the Ravens taking on the Cowboys. We'll start with the offense coming up here around 10:30, 10:45. But if you want to get in, celebrate the Orioles going to the playoffs, feel free to do so. 410-583-1057. If you're scared of the Bills, say you're scared. Sunday night, national TV. Ravens 2.5-point favorites over Buffalo. Possible playoff preview. Who knows? Get into that. And Maryland, first Big Ten road game of the season, trying to upset Indiana because the Turtles are getting a touchdown and the extra point.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ryan Wills sucked last night.
Oh.
And who was Ryan Wills? He was the home plate umpire at Yankee Stadium.
I've never seen so many guys, Bob, like on, they had a three ball count that took their stuff off and were walking down to first base, and he's like, no, that was a strike.
He called a strike on Soto on a ball that was low and inside. And Soto just shook and said, no. Again, I got no problem ripping referees or umpires because their incompetence or bad decisions impact outcomes of games. And I know the cliche as an athlete's to say, well, you never want to let it get to the umpire or referee's hands. Sometimes it does. And if they make a bad call, the outcome is affected. You got to get to robot umpires.
Yeah.
because a strike has to be a strike, a ball has to be a ball. It can't be at the discretion of someone who may be having a bad night like this dude was. And he was wearing glasses, for crying out loud. Maybe he needed to wipe them off. Foul ball's foul ball. Now, like, well, it's kind of close, you know, whatever. We'll call it fair today because I got a flexible foul territory. Or a touchdown's a touchdown, first down's a first down. Three-pointer's a three-pointer. If your toe's on the line, it's two. Strike now has to be a strike. You have the technology. It's been implemented in the minors. Get it done. It's just the way that it is.
I mean, it could bounce up, and that was a strike. Anything high. The one time Kramer, you know, the Big Ben and Palmer.
It was when Volpe was at the plate.
Yeah, they were saying, the pitching coach needs to come out and talk to him because he's irate right now.
Yeah, and Volpe walks so little, like he wants five balls. He don't even want a regular four ball walk. Yeah. He's like, no, I don't want to walk. I want to swing and do what I got to do. So, Nolan, you on board with me, robot umpires?
Well, I was going to ask, is it out of bounds to say that we've complained about umpiring or well, specifically with baseball, umpiring, more this season than recent history? I know the umps have always been bad. The refs have always been bad in every sport. Everyone's complained about it since the dawn of time. But it feels like this year we've really spent more time discussing it than years past.
But I think it's more balls and strikes.
Balls and strikes.
Because they can correct the other things because of replay.
Right.
It's like the closest thing to me is pass interference in football.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a up to the discretion.
A judgment call.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be that. Either it is or it isn't by rule.
And that's
holding,
what separates,
I guess, falls into that category.
Like the Oway roughing the passer.
Yeah. All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Bottom line is the Orioles win 5-3. Three home runs. Still struggle with runners in scoring position, but they got the job done. Dean Kramer's third clincher. Clinched the playoffs last year, the division game, and then last night, another wild card fun fest. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
What's up, Bob and Vinny?
Hey, man.
What's happening?
Hey, man, we clinched, man. You know, I was getting so nervous. You know, like, man, I started to put the Olds gear away, man, and bring the Cowboys gear out. But
how
now
dare
I put everything in reverse.
Yeah, you can put that Cowboys gear. They lose tomorrow night. You can put it away for the whole year.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb was he was apologizing for acting like a diva. But it was a stressful game. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it
I
was,
mean, it
man,
was just
man.
Like, oh, come on. And that, and when Gleyber Torres ran them into the out, I was like, oh, thank you. And then Moo Man hits that missile right in the right field.
And then how about when Stanton's foul ball to the right and then foul to the left? Then he struck out on a pitch that was
it was like cricket.
Yeah.
Like bounced like a foot in front of the plate. But when Soto walked Rizzo, and I'm like, Verdugo gets booed, and wouldn't it be like ironic if he hits a two-run blast? But he flied out weakly.
Yeah, I was thinking too.
Yeah, it was not a relaxing scenario until the actual ball hit the glove. And then, 10 minutes later, because I flipped at MLB Network, watched the end of the Twins game, and boy, did they go quietly into the night. And then the celebration. Did you see Rashawn, Vinny, and listeners, and Nolan, the little baby setup they had for Jackson Holiday?
I read about it. I didn't see it.
Baby's first clinchments. Give a bottle of water.
That's crazy. He's only 20 years old, man.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to go ahead and guarantee he's had a beer before, though. Just call it a hunt.
Yeah, man. When I was
he's
20,
married
man, I was
at 20, yeah, you know, and all that.
Oh, he's married already?
Yeah.
20 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's another discussion for another
day. Yeah, another discussion. Yeah, man. But, this is crazy. Like, the first time in my adult life that the Orioles are going back-to-back in the playoffs, man. You know, because I think last time this was what, like in the 90s, right?
96, 97. Davey Johnson and Brady and Cal and Raffy and Messina.
Norm wasn't alive either.
Yeah, well, he was like still pooping his pants, which he just stopped doing about 2 years ago.
Don't be my man Norm like that, man. But, I'm looking forward to, you know, next week down at Pickles, man. You know, I can't wait to release the time, you know, they're going to play. Because I think they're going to have 4 wild card games each day, right?
So, yeah, it's, they're all in throughout the league. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they get ready for the DS coming up on Saturday. And if the Orioles secure the number one wild card seed, which could happen as early as tonight, they win. Detroit loses all 3 games. If it goes that far, we'll be in Baltimore.
Okay, yeah, hopefully we be down there, you know. So y'all going to be, no matter what time the game is, y'all going to be down at Pickles if it's even a 1 o'clock game?
I think the earliest game you said, Bob's
like
2:20.
Like 2:40 or yeah. something like that. But,
okay, 2:40. Ain't
yeah,
bad at
to
all.
Be determined, Rashawn. We don't know yet.
Yeah, but we shall see, man. I'm looking forward, man. I'm looking forward to my first, you know, World Series game, too, man. Because, I've been working tons of overtime, and I'm going to treat myself to a World Series game this year, wherever the Orioles play at. So, you know, I'm saving my money up.
I'm telling you what, you must work a lot of overtime. You go to Dallas, Hawaii, LA.
Yeah, you know why I get some travel? Because my BGE bill was $350 last month. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. If you're on the phones, we'll get you when we come back. Damon Evans, AD, University of Maryland, joins us top of the hour. Terps trying to get to 4-1, get that first Big Ten win of the season at Indiana. For the Birds, they win last night 5-3 as Santander, Arias, and Moomin all went yard. Dean Kramer, 5 strong. And the bullpen held up for the most part. Cano gave up a couple of inherited runners. Soto was better than he's been. And then Dominguez got him. Did you see the other Dominguez, the kid for the Yankees, his bat explode? It's like he went up there with a toothpick. That thing was annihilated. I was kind of looking for the Sammy Sosa quirk, to be honest with you. But that thing was just shattered. Ravens are back at practice today, getting ready for the Bills. That's coming up Sunday night. M&T Bank Stadium, NBC extravaganza. Ravens 2.5-point favorites over the undefeated Buffalo team. Let's get back to the show and the phones and DB and Perry Hall. DB, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, really enjoyed the show, fellas. I'm so glad on this cloudy day and rainy day that we're glad to get to October. The Orioles, go Orioles.
Yeah.
My question is, with this 15 seconds between pitches, I've never seen so many starting pitchers, especially the Orioles, have gone down with arm problems. And even in our bullpen, we've had a lot of pitchers with problems. What do you guys think? Do you think that's enough time between pitches, or – even around the league, that a lot of pitchers seem to be having problems.
All right, DB, thank you. The pitchers are saying that is kind of an issue. The pitch clock is kind of throwing them out of whack a little bit. And, you know, I've never pitched in the major leagues. But I'm thinking that the high, what is it, what do they call it? Max effort.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has a lot to do with it, too. The spin rates, throwing 95 plus. I mean, like Dean Kramer throws 95, and he's considered a soft tosser by some of today's standards.
Right. And the other thing I would say, Bob, I think, didn't they do like research on that? Most of it happens between like 15 and 19 years old. They don't have pitch clocks at that time.
Right. I mean, and let's be honest, if you were a fan of the shift, I apologize, but tweaking that and then the pitch clock, I think it's added a little more excitement and it's quickened the pace of the game. I mean, the Orioles' attendance is up, highest attendance since 2015. Up 18% from last year. So I think more fans are engaged in the games because they don't take 5 hours.
I mean, Bob, how miserable was it, you know, because on Sunday night all the time, Yankees, Red Sox, that game would last 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. Or like Nomar Garciaparra would get in the batter's box, glove,
yeah.
This. Now, get in there and start hacking away. Let's get back to the phones. Go to Chris in Parkville. Chris, thanks for holding you on the fan. Vinny, Haney, and Nolan.
Gentlemen, how's everything going?
Good.
I just wanted to make two quick points of you could indulge me. The stars seem to have aligned here. A good timing for getting healthy, the way they look last night. It's looking pretty good. The pressure's not there. They know they're in. But I definitely agree with you guys. There needs to be, at the very least, a technology assist. And I believe in AAA, they have a test pilot going on, or they had one this year. If you correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that they were doing some kind of a test pilot in AAA, testing it out in AAA, because there's too much, especially in the playoffs and everything. They can't levy a game to a bad call. They need to be working on that.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. And yeah, it's been in the minors for a couple of years, and it transitioned to AAA. And Ryan Ripken made a good point maybe a month ago. Jackson Holliday struggling. You got the robot umps in the minors. Strikes are strikes.
Yeah.
I mean, now here, you're thinking, that's a ball. And then you're getting rung up, and now you're forced to swing. at pitches out of the zone because, and not making excuses for Jackson Holliday, by the way, but you're forced to swing at things that aren't necessarily strikes. And that guy last night was all over the place with his strike zone. He would not call the letter high,
no.
But then he did. And then they were stealing pitches at times with the low strikes, but not just, it's all we ask for, right? If you're going to suck, at least be consistently sucky in one part of the zone that everyone's got an idea of what they're looking at here.
Bob.
Except for you, obviously.
Like in football, they have like all-star crews when they get to the playoff. What is baseball?
The same thing.
So it's the highest graded guys.
Yeah, but they don't work together during the season, so maybe their chemistry is off just a little bit. But if you're down the right field line,
I mean, a foul's
and
a foul.
You call it a foul ball, they can go to replay and it hits chalk. It's fair.
Yeah.
Well, my bad. Then he goes back to picking his nose and watching the game. Home plate umpire, it's just like, well, it is what it is, and how dare you question my strategy. We have time for another call. Let's do it. Let's go to Tony in Baltimore. Tony, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. So I'm going to push back on you a little bit about the demand for consistency. And I was watching the game last night. First of all, I love the position that the Orioles are back in. I think they're much better coming as like the upstart, you know, squeaking as a wild card, surprise some people. And to your point, 7-4 against the Yanks. I don't believe they're going to make a deep run just because they're their bullpen. But like, I love this position rather than being, you know, at the top. But I'm watching the game last night, and it was hilarious watching how mad Kramer was getting. But, like, what others – so, say they did go to a automated strike zone. Would the zone – I don't know how it's working in the minors. Would the strike zone be a consistent box, or would it move and be variable as it is now based on a player's height, right? And in what other sport is it – like, basketball, they don't change the rim height because the player's too big or small. But in baseball, they ask, you know, humans right now to be super consistent with a strike zone when it's consistently variable based on the player, right? Like, it's up and down.
So yeah, I know
that would be my.
Yeah, that would be my. I'm not sure. Yeah, because the box that we see on the TV,
right,
that is projected to be the strike zone. Like, Jose Altuve is like a foot smaller than Aaron Judge. So you're going to have to adjust it to some level. But for each player, right? It used to be letters to the knees. Now it's more like belt line to the knees. Does that sound right?
Remember, Bob, when American League was different than National League.
Well, it was all one had, I can't remember which, one called the low strike, one called the high strike.
That's because they had the
chest protector. But I would hope there's some uniformity there. I mean, we modern technology. We send people to space. We can figure out a way to get a strike zone right for every individual batter, I would think. But we all agree. But if it's below the knees, if you're 4'2" or 10'2", it's a ball. If you're on the phone, it's Trippy Antonio. You're next. Got Damon Evans. Got Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense against the Dallas Cowboys. For three quarters, it looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Then they didn't have any. We'll get into that and more. Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny Haney Nolan here on The Fan. Coming up here next week as the playoffs begin. We got the AFC North whip around. Scott Petrak talking Browns. We got Richard Skinner talking Bengals 0-3. And then we got Will Graves talking about the 3-0 Steelers. Damon Evans, Maryland AD, top of the hour. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense coming up at 11:15. But let's get back to the phones. Let's go get Trippy. Trippy, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Bob? I was going off what Rashawn said. I think the last time the Orioles went back-to-back playoffs, I think I probably was 7-8 years old. That was a long time ago. But, hey, Bob, I apologize, man. I missed you last week, man. I fell asleep. I woke up. It was about 8:30. I said, dang. But I'm glad the Orioles clinched, so I get to see you one more time at Pickles. But I got a question, though, about the Ravens secondary, right? How y'all feel about Marcus Williams, man? I've been seeing the PFF reports about him.
What do they say? Cause...
like, his grade is real down. And then I'm looking at it like, we really don't have no dogs back there that could tackle. Like, did you see when that big boy, number 87, like, he basically, like, bounced off of Marcus Williams. And I think that's going to be a problem Sunday. I hope not. But, you know, them two tight ends coming in town, I think that's going to be a problem. I still think we're going to win, though, but I think that's going to be a problem. Hopefully we can get it together. What you think we got to do to get the secondary together?
The secondary? What? Well, the biggest thing is, in this game, they're going to have to tackle well because that ball is coming out quick. And they're going to have to tackle well, and they got to protect the middle of the field this game. But back to Marcus Williams, I'm kind of in agreement with – he hadn't done anything. You know, he could have had an interception, and he missed it. And then he plays really deep back there. He's not involved that much, and he did miss that tackle.
But I do that. I just hope the Ravens can work on that middle. I think that's a problem, and I think that's what teams going to start doing. Maybe we should switch Roquan and Trent Simpson together. Like, let Trent play the middle linebacker so he could be able to cover them other, you know, the running backs and stuff, and just have role like blitz. Because I've been saying Trent Simpson blitz a lot, and I think that should be role thing. But go ahead. I'm going to finish listening to y'all, man. Y'all have a great Wednesday.
All right, Trippy, you do the same.
Yeah, well, Trent Simpson only played 51%. So they're playing a lot of DBs in there instead of Trent Simpson. But I like how Trent Simpson's been playing. Does he blitz some? Yeah, he blitzes some. You know, I mean, but in the second half, they were blitzing a lot, whoever was in there.
Yeah, we'll do the film breakdown of the Ravens defense coming up at 1 o'clock, NFL lunchtime. Offense coming up at 11:15. Let's go to Rosedale, bring in Antonio. Antonio, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Which one player has to play well for the Orioles to have a chance to win in the playoffs? Have a wonderful day, guys.
Thank you, Antonio. Which one?
Whoever's starting pitching.
Yeah, but you need more than one, I would think. It's got to be Gunner, Taters, and then I think they need a trio of players to perform to get things done here. And maybe in the end game got to be Dominguez or Anthony. Does he get a sir back and we reunited him, Nolan, or no?
That's your distinction. That's up to you. You're the one knighting
right.
people.
All right. I've dubbed you Sir Anthony. Do you blow your next save? Then you're just Anthony. But it's got to be somebody maybe at the back end of the bullpen. Because these games are going to be close, we would think, for the most part. Can they maintain their advantage late in games? The always fun high leverage situation. But stars got to play like stars offensively too.
Yes. That your stars got to play like they're supposed to play. If your stars play better than the other stars, you're going to win.
But then there's always the Brian Doyles of the world that come out of nowhere, or the Al Weiss. I mean, just this unsung hero type that just goes crazy in a short series. Buddy Biancolana, remember him? 1985 World Series for the Kansas City Royals. Somebody like that could totally change the outcome of that postseason expectation. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Damon Evans, University of Maryland Athletic Director, joins us next. I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Now we're getting ready for Maryland, Indiana. Terps are 3-1, and basketball right around the corner. Media Day coming up in just a couple of weeks.